Today's reading on this Racial Justice Sunday is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're reading from verses 16 through to chapter 6, verse 10. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favour I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonour, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. Today, as the second Sunday in February, is Racial Justice Sunday in the UK. On its 30th anniversary, its theme is the coat of many colours, a theme that reflects on the fact that many of our churches and communities are extremely diverse. And that is really something to celebrate. The very mention of those words, racial justice, are likely to evoke strong feelings. There's a good chance you've had personal experience of racism and you carry the hurt that comes with that. At the opposite end of the scale, others may feel that it's not an issue relevant to them. Dare I say it, they're sick of hearing about it. I do hope that you don't fall into the latter category. And as we come to focus on the Bible and God's perspective, we come to appreciate that it is actually everybody's business. Racial Justice Sunday is an opportunity to reflect on our own stand and that of the church, and to do so honestly. We're called to recognise the importance of racial justice, to praise God for the fantastic blessing of human diversity, and to commit to end racism and indeed all discrimination. The undeniable fact is that racism has blighted society for as far back in history as we can trace, and it has done immense harm. But it's not past tense. As a society, maybe even as a family or as an individual, we carry the legacy of sins committed by others historically, along with the current. This day has been set aside by churches of all denominations to understand the impacts of the past and present and to commit to change now and to continue that change into the future, firmly based on scripture and on God's will for his children. Richard Reddy from Churches Together in Britain and Ireland, the organisation leading on Racial Justice Sunday and who have provided a lot of today's liturgy, make clear that the day is a call for all Christians to engage in the righteous struggle for racial justice, because racial justice, as I've just said, is everyone's business. And it is. God says that it is. Acts 17, verse 26, for example. God made from one man every nation in humankind. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, writes, "The Lord is Lord of all." In his early laws, we were commanded to love and not oppress those who are aliens in your land. Leviticus 19, 33 to 34. Isaiah delivered the prophecy, which you can find in chapter 58 of Isaiah, that God chooses to loose the bonds of injustice and break every yoke. In the book of Micah, we're commanded to do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. These are just a fraction of what the Bible says on the subject. It's full from start to finish as you work your way through the Bible. And yet, there is so much injustice and division in our world. We see it all around us. It's constantly in the news. And sadly, and if we're being honest, a lot goes on in our church communities too. Change is happening, but it is slow in coming. And as Christians, as churches, we are called by God to take a lead by example and through action. Sadly, it can be painful to reflect back on. The church has even been part of the problem. And at times, it's committed the injustices, or it's enabled the injustice by not standing up to it, by not saying enough, by not providing a safe space and a voice for those experiencing racism. There are many testimonies to turn to if you're in any doubt. But sitting here this morning, where do we fit in this today? What can we do? And by that, I mean I, that individual response that God calls us to. What can I do in the face of such a mammoth issue which seems to have embedded itself in all areas of life around the world? Well, it starts with us, doesn't it? That is what Jesus taught us. So let me work through some of the responses that we are called to through Scripture. One, we should always be reflecting on our own attitudes. Are they God-driven and Christ-like? Just read any letter of St. Paul's and you'll see that that is essential in our walk with the Lord. It's really easy for the unhealthy attitudes of those around us or coming out through social media to just seep in. And we need to be really alert to that. Where do your opinions on any issue come from? Where do your issues on immigration come from, for example? Is it from the world or is it from the Bible? We must stand on the truth of Scripture and nothing else. Two, we need to come to God in confession, both for forgiveness for past harms and following that regular personal attitude check when our hearts have become hardened and lack compassion. I'd even go so far as to say that we need to seek God's forgiveness and enlightenment for those areas of our lives which are often hidden, not always obvious to us. They are often referred to as blind spots, those unhealthy attitudes and behaviours that we're actually not aware of. And racism is very often lurking in those hidden places. Ask God to enlighten them. Three, and this was very weighty in today's reading, we are compelled to follow God's call to be peacemakers and to be agents of reconciliation. As you work through that short section of 2 Corinthians in detail, which I'm not going to do now, but I'd urge you to go back to it, it really does show what our duty is in that respect. And there are many elements to this. One is to ensure that our own attitudes, our own voice and our actions are not creating division and harm. The other is to make sure that we don't go along with the flow when others are exhibiting racist attitudes and behaviours. And the other is to actively stand against it. Another element to reconciliation, and one that is very difficult but is completely possible through the power of the Holy Spirit, is to have our own hearts of forgiveness. So when we ourselves have been hurt by racism, we need to bring before God the need for healing, for his healing power, and for the ability to forgive those who have harmed us. Four, we need to be standing in solidarity with anyone who suffers. 1 Peter 5, verses 3 to 11. What that means in practice is going to be very, very different based on what God is asking us. It may be as basic as walking alongside someone who is being subjected to racism, and I mean literally. Or it may be in the form of public complaint or protest in the workplace or in your churches, whistleblowing. Basically, speaking out publicly against racism, supporting those who are being subject to racism, always assessing our own actions in light of the Bible and what God calls us to do. That may make us vulnerable, but that's what Jesus called us to be, vulnerable. Five, we have to persevere when change is slow or we feel like we're wasting our time. It can be really tiring when you're an advocate of change, when you are constantly seeing the impacts, those awful impacts of racism, and nothing seems to be changing. Jesus gave us a great example of perseverance in Luke 18 with the widow who pestered the unjust judge until indeed justice was done. Six, like Jesus, we can empathise and we can show compassion, even though we can't know or even imagine what others have gone through or are going through. If you've never experienced racism, you cannot know what it's like. And do you know what? Even if you have, everyone's experience and the impact is different. We all have our individual journeys, but we can be united in the cause. And we can come alongside those who have a story to tell, and we can listen, we can actively listen, just as Jesus did. Work your way through the Gospels, see how Jesus came alongside those who were suffering, who were dealing with oppression and the injustices of their day. And seven, of course, running through every thought and response as Christians needs to be prayer. Talking to God, being guided by God, being constantly taught and changed by God. Praying without ceasing for God's will to be done and his justice to be known in this world and in our own lives. And what I'm going to do now is just end with a prayer. But I'm just going to pray by reading again from our reading from 2 Corinthians, reading this time from chapter 6, verses 3 through to 11. So I just invite you now to reflect on this day. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonour, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. Amen.